I'm looking at my slide here. It's just got the songs. So. Jason will get it figured out. We're continuing and looking at Jesus' disciple-making program. We're calling it CrossFit because it's the cross that makes us fit. And as we take it up and learn to deny ourselves and we follow him, we are he'll make us into what he wants us to be. Well, magic touch. This makes me think of riding horses at the pyramids. Jesse liked to ride horses, and so we'd go there. And I'd get on the horse, and the horse knew I did not know what I was doing. And it just said, okay, I'm walking around this thing and back to the barn, that's it. And so this machine knows that it's not afraid of me, but it was afraid of Jason. So it just whipped in line, just like it should do. The Lord said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And he seeks these kind of worshipers. He is a spirit. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And so God is continually calling us to worship in truth and to worship from our heart. From inside of us. And that means in what our intentions are and what we choose and what we desire. He wants us to worship him from the heart, from the spirit, in spirit and truth. To do that, we need a true and clear view of God so that we could worship him and love him and obey him and trust him. We're going to look at Ephesians, and in Ephesians, Paul is praying for us to understand that God's will towards us is good, that his love and his power are sufficient for us. And what is love? Love seeks the good of the one loved. Love is the will or the intention, the purpose to do good for the one that's loved. It's a choice. It's intention. It's a volition. And the word benevolence is from two Latin words, to will the good. And that's what love is. Love wills the good for those that are the one that's loved, whether it's a person or a thing. But we find out that we can't always do what we intend because we're not always in control. And also, inside of us, we have many conflicting wills and desires. And that's true of almost all people. And what God wants to do is for us to grow and become like Christ, we have to weed out the wills that don't match up with God's will and get rid of the conflicting desires and just have one will for God and for his will for us, which is very good. Still not working. Okay. That's good. God's will for us, his intentions towards us, are God's intentions towards us good? And then is the power to do as he intends. Can he do it? Is there anything that can stop him? That's what Paul's going to talk about in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 15. I'll read 15, you read 16. For this reason, can you go to the next one? Thank you. For this reason, too, I too have heard, once I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, while making mention of you in my prayers. And verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So does God have good intentions towards us? Does he have the power to do what he intends? Yes. And us, remember, he loves you individually, but he has put you in a group. And what's that group? The church, the body of Christ. And he has chosen to bring everything under Christ and fulfill all of his purpose in Christ, and that is also in his church. And so we are intimately connected to Christ and his purposes. We are in him. We're in the beloved. We've been united with Christ, and he loves us as he loves Christ. This is hard to understand. It's hard to believe. That's why he said, you need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need the Spirit strengthening you on the inside to believe what's true about God and about us in Christ. It's so amazing, it's hard to believe. And we actually need his help so that we can believe it and act upon it. One person said we need to be filled with life, and life, if you're filled with life, sometimes they say you have vim and vigor. And so one man used this as an acronym, VIM, V-I-M. And he means by that vision, intention, and means. We need a vision of who God is and what is his will. We need to understand who God is and what God's will for us is. And that has to be revealed to us by God, which he has revealed to us in the Bible. And then what's our intention? What are we going to do about that? Now that we know this about God, what are we going to do about it? What's our intention to do with this information about God and his will for us? Will we believe it? Will we cooperate with him? Will we resist him? Will we believe halfway? What's our intention? And will we cooperate with him and follow through? And then the last one is means. How will we do this? How will we do what God wants for us? And what's God's will for us once we've come to Christ? To grow and become like Christ in our life. To put off the old man, put off the ways that belong to the old life before Christ, and to put on the things that belong to Christ, and to use what he made us to be, use the power of choice that we have. God is not going to do this against our wills. He's only going to do it with our wills. And so we have to learn what's the truth and then begin choosing and continue to choose what God's will is. And that's how we grow in Christ. We need faith, which is simply trust and confidence. And sometimes we get confused. We use the word faith and it becomes a biblical, or it becomes a churchy word, and we're not really sure what it means. But are we confident in what God is going to do? Are we confident that God is going to keep his word? Are we confident that if we do what God says, the consequences and the results that God says will happen in our lives? Perhaps you remember this illustration of someone walking across ice. Which is better, to have strong faith or to have thick ice? Can you read the sign? What's it say? Danger, thin ice. Now, we don't know the story. Perhaps it was thin, and now they've had a week of cold weather, and that sign is still there, and it's really thick. Or maybe not. Maybe the person's thinking, if I have strong faith, that will hold me up. But what holds you up? Your faith or the ice? And sometimes we think that about the Christian life. If I just believe, if I just have faith, it's not about your having faith. It's how strong is the ice? Is the ice trustworthy? Is God trustworthy? Will God let us down or will God hold us up? That's the question. It has to do, we're making judgments about the faithfulness of God and whether or not God is trustworthy. That's why God wants us to get up on the high ropes and says, you're not going to fall, you're strapped in. You're going to learn through this. Or on the crates, they go the crates up to the top. You're not going to fall. If you fall, you just coast down. It's going to be good. Or even up on this ladder that we had. If you trust him and do what he says, we learn by experience that God is faithful, and that's what we need to do. Because not all of our parts believe. We're broken up. God wants to put us together and have integrity inside of us, and he wants us to get rid of the conflicting desires that are fighting against each other so that we have one will and that we're trusting God. That's what it'll be when we grow in faith. Our faith must be built upon the truth about God, and so we need a clear vision of God and his will for us. And so Paul continues in Ephesians 3, verse 14. He says, he prays in chapter 1, and now he prays in chapter 4, in chapter 3. Can you go to Ephesians 3, 14? Because this is not working here. Thank you. I'll read 14. You read 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, the next one, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. And that you is you plural, it's the church. 20, and now to him who's able to do abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Why do we need to be strengthened? He said you need to be strengthened that Christ would dwell in our hearts. Isn't Christ already in our hearts? Yes, he is. But that Christ would dwell and be more and more in our hearts. And that we would yield, as somebody said, my heart, Christ homes. Sometimes we have doors locked, like, don't go in there, that closet's a mess. You know, don't go in the basement. Don't go in the kitchen. Oh, they cleaned it up. Now you can go in the kitchen. That Christ would dwell in our hearts, that he'd be more and more at home in our hearts, and that we would be comfortable with him in us. And that we would be grounded and rooted in his love, and we would understand not just that he loves us, but how much he loves us. It's bigger, it's longer, it's higher, it's deeper than we think. We need to know this love. And he says, know the love that goes beyond comprehension, that exceeds understanding. How can you know something that exceeds understanding? Because you're not just knowing it with your mind, you're feeling it, you're living in it. Now remember, God is love, and what's love? Love is willing what's good. intending the good for the one that's loved. So God is love, and by his very nature, he does good for others. But because he's given us free will, we don't always cooperate that. We don't always want what he wants. And if we choose something that's not what God wants, is that good for us? No. And he doesn't force it upon us. And so it's a matter of learning that God is good, experiencing this, and continuing to choose more and more his will so that we actually experience it. Let's look at how he starts off Ephesians. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says the word blessing, he uses it as an adjective and a verb and then a noun. And it's the word, we get the word eulogy from. It means to speak what's good, to say good things. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He used the word three times. Because we're slow, he wanted us to get it. And he's blessed us with every blessing. But what's it mean, he's blessed? Blessed be God. What does that mean? It's kind of like the word grace, gratis. What's the proper response to when someone gives you a gift? Gratitude. And so the proper response to grace is to express gratitude back to the person. The proper response for someone blessing us is to say to that person, you are wonderful. And then we say, bless them. So God is blessed. God is praised. That's a clue. How does God want us to praise him? He wants us to praise him in the things that he loves to give us and the good that he loves to do for us. That's the praise that he wants. And so we have to have an understanding that God is so good, he enjoys being good, and he enjoys our enjoyment of that and our gratitude for that. So we say, blessed be God. And let's say that right now. Blessed be God, who's blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, for he chose us in him, that in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Verse 5, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Let's stay there a second. Let's go back to that one. Okay, thank you. Why does he say be holy and blameless? It's connected to the very next clause. He's chosen us to be his children. And that means he's going to train us how you act in his family. I don't know if your parents ever told you, like, don't embarrass me. This is not how we act in our family. This is what you're supposed to do. That's what he wants. And so his family are like him, holy and blameless, and that's something we have to learn how to do. Because like some children that are adopted, sometimes they're not just adopted as babies, they're adopted as older children. They already have habits, and some of them aren't good. And now they have to learn how to behave in the new family. We were trained by the world, and in our old life, many things are wrong. We've been conformed to the world, but he says, stop being conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and prove that God's will, as you obey it, you'll prove that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so now, put off those ways and put on these ways, and we will be his children, and it will show that God's will is good, and it pleases him, and it will actually please us as well, accordance with his pleasure and will. Now, verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, God wants to be praised for his grace, and we have to learn how deep and how big and how wonderful His grace is. And as we get a vision of God, of how great He is and how great His good is for us, and become confident in that, and how do we gain in confidence? By following through on His instructions. As we follow through on His instructions, we will find that He is gracious and good. The grace which He has freely given us, and this is also a noun and a verb, the grace which He has graced us, or the gifts that He's given us, in the one He loves. We are in Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, which is the forgiveness of sins. Remember, why does God want us to be free, forgiven of sins? So that we can be in His presence. But not just that we'll not pay the penalty of sin. He wants us to be free of sin. Not just free from the penalty of sin. He wants to deliver us from sin, not only when we die. He wants to do it progressively now in our walk with Him. Verse 8, finishing off the verse 7. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and all understanding. We need to have wisdom from God to understand God's plan, which is so amazing and so wonderful that it includes us becoming His children, being drawn into His family, and actually learning how to live in His family as His children. Verse 9, and He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. So you see, God is good. He intends good for us. And what's His intention? What's His will? What does He purpose to do? It's for our good, and that is to be in Christ and become like Christ, which will be put in effect when the times have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and earth under one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in Him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out what? Everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. So God has in good intentions, and He will see them through, and those include us being brought into His family and changing into become like Christ. 12, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be what? For the praise of His glory, or His glorious praise. How is God glorified? He's glorified in being good to us, in being loving to us, which includes drawing us into Him, into truth, and into life. So we're casting off deception, we're casting off darkness, which the world is in darkness and in deception, and putting on truth, putting on conformity to Christ, becoming more and more authentically human because we're becoming more and more like Christ. And so God is praised by pouring out His goodness to us, and we receive that, and then we marvel in how good God is to us. Thank You for blessing us. Blessed is God who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? It means we have to appreciate it. How can we appreciate it? We have to experience it. And the more we experience it, the more wonderful we see that it is. If we just experience a little bit, we just agree with Him a little bit, just taste a little bit, we'll just think it's a little bit good. But the more we experience it, the greater we'll see how God is. Because our ability to understand is related to our ability to experience. And our ability to experience is related to how much we cooperate with God and trust Him. So God glories in being loving and good and gracious, and this is the praise that fits Him and pleases Him the most. Verse 13, He said, and you also were included in Christ. When? When were you included in Christ? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. So, this plan from eternity was told to you as a story, and when you believed it, what? You were included in Him. Even though it's been planned since before creation. When you believed in him, did you use your mind when you listened to the story? Did you have to say, I want that? Did you have to choose that? All of your personality is involved in receiving the truth. And when you did that, you were included in him. And then he said you were marked with a seal. What's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is also a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Have you received all of the promises of God? No. Have we been transformed completely in the image of Christ? No. Is he going to do that? Yes. Will anything stop him from that happening? No. This is the guarantee. But we have to cooperate so that we are experiencing what God has given to us, so that we can walk. Why is that important? Okay. We have some babies still here. Where's Elizabeth? Sleeping or here or there? In the nursery. Elias is here. What if I showed you a picture of a baby and you go, oh, so cute. He's so cute. She's so cute. And then you think, well, he's kind of old to have a baby. It must be his grandchild. And I said, no, that's my son. Really? How old is he? Oh, he's 34. Where is he? I don't know. What's he doing? I don't know. We don't talk. Can you imagine? All we care about is birth. We don't care about what happens after that. There's nothing after that? Some people, they say, I want to give my testimony. 35 years ago, I heard the gospel, and I believed, and that's it. What? That's the birth. Doesn't anything, don't you have some kind of relationship after that? I mean, you don't have any relationship with your parent after that? You understand? And so, yes, it's important when we heard the gospel and we believe. That's very important. But there needs to be a life after that, right? We don't have much of a testimony if all we can do is talk about, I was born so many years ago, and you know, I got birth, but I don't have any life now with my father. Our testimony grows out of our daily experience with God, as we are learning and walking with him. And then our faith is vibrant. And then, yes, we can tell about how we came to Christ, but also how we're growing in Christ, how we're learning to trust Christ, how he is helping us. And that's what we need to be doing as a church body, helping one another grow in our faith, putting off old things, putting on new things, and the practices that belong to the family of God. So, one of the things he tells us in Ephesians, well, not just Ephesians, but in the epistles, love one another in truth. Love one another, but it has to be just an emotion, but it has to be according to reality, according to truth. And also, we're to speak truth to one another. But when we speak truth, it needs to be in love. Both of these things are important. If we're going to worship God, we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. It needs to be from our heart, but it also needs to be according to reality. God is love, and that means he wills what's good for us. His will is good. And we did this last week. We're to tell ourselves the truth. Each person should tell himself the truth. Each woman should tell herself the truth. But we also need to tell the truth to ourselves as a group, because we are a group. And so last week we said this. Let's say in third person, God is good. God's will is good. What God does is good. God works all things together for our good. Praise be to God. Or blessed be God, because he's poured out these blessings on us. But then let's also say it in second person to God, right? Now we're saying it in praise. So we say to him, God, you are good. Your will is good. What you do is good. You work all things together for our good. Praise be to you, God. Last week we looked at Titus 2, four verses out of Titus 2, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let's read that again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Do you remember when there was a Just Say No campaign? Saying no to what? Drugs. So drugs come? No. That's a good idea. Say no to drugs. But he wants us to be a little more broad than that, just saying no to drugs. Ungodliness and worldly passions. And instead, live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. He wants us to do that now, while we're waiting for Christ to come back. That's what he says in verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, 14, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now, do you think that he redeemed us so that we'd be pure after he comes back, or while we're here on earth? While we're here. And that will be the testimony to the world, not just that we were born, that we're actually being changed into his image. Yes, we can tell people when we receive Christ, but we also need to be telling them and telling one another what God is doing in our life now, that we have an ongoing relationship with our Father. We're to worship God in spirit and truth. We're to be united to one another in love. That's what Jesus prayed in his final prayer in John 17. That the world will know we're his disciples when we're united in love one for another. So we need to love one another in truth. We need to speak truth to one another in love. Remember that love seeks the good of the other. So we're to seek good for everyone in this church. And love is the will to do good. To not love, what would that mean? What's not loving? Well, it would be attacking each other. That would be the fight instinct. Or we would withdraw. Out of fear, we fly away. So it's fight or flight. Right inside the church. James talks about that. He said, you're fighting and quarreling and devouring one another because you have desires and conflict. But that's not what God wants us to do. So Paul gives us in Ephesians some things to put off and some things to put on. Verse 15 of chapter 4. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So it's not just the individual growing up. We grow up together better as a church. We will all grow up into him who is the head, that is through Christ. Verse 16, from him the whole body, read it with me, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What's each part? Yeah, all of us, we're the parts. We need each other. You can't have a giant eyeball or anything like that. It needs to be together. Now let's go to 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building one another up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And verse 31, you read this together with me, the last two verses here, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave. Okay. I have a different translation in my mind. What about that? And by the way, he's talking to people in the church. Can you imagine people being angry with each other and raging at one another and even slandering one another and having bad thoughts? Let's decide right now, because it's God's will. Once we learn it, then we have to decide, am I going to choose and will and desire the same thing God does? Maybe I'll put it off later. I won't make that decision now. And of course, to decide not to do it is actually to decide. And so we want to decide and choose together what God wants. We decide now to love one another, to speak the truth and not to lie to one another, to do good and not malice. What do you think?
I do.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's stand up. Let's stand up right now. God, we commit to will your will. Let's say that. God, we commit to will your will. We commit to love one another. We commit not to harm one another. We commit to not withdraw from one another. We commit to speak truth and grace to one another. We commit to build up one another. Okay, now I didn't quite figure out how to do this, but now it's going to say to each other, okay? Maybe we just say you, okay? I commit to love you all.
I commit to love you all.
It's not written up there, so you can just look at each other and repeat after me. I commit not to harm you. I commit not to withdraw from you.
I commit not to withdraw from you.
I commit to speak truth to you.
I commit to speak truth to you.
And grace.
And grace.
I commit to build you up.
So help me God.
And he will. All right. Amen. Amen. We have a song? Okay. While you're standing, we're going to sing.